From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
I
don't
know. Big Blue Huddle, shout out to the Huddle, man. Big Blue Roundtable, preview versus the Niners, stakeholders, man. What's going on, Chris? How's everything, man?
Yeah, let's keep it, man. You know I'm excited about this week for once. You know, this could be it. This could be it. I'm actually feeling pretty good this time. I'm a little optimistic, Steve, and I hope those stakeholders are feeling the same way. It should be a good week for us. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that, because as long as the Giants stay on their game and, you know, we should have a chance to get the first victory. This is almost a similar situation last year, 0-2. We went to Tampa, got our first win. Maybe a deja blue situation, man. So I look forward to it, man. It's good to be back on the preview show, because remember, I was out of town last week, couldn't make it in. You know, I made my picks and all that other stuff, called into the post game with you guys and gals. So, yeah, it's good to be back on the preview, man, and watching some of the Niner game versus the Jets. And that was an ugly game. Ugly game to watch. That's a brutal tape to watch.
Hey,
so I have my
we got to talk about that with Steve, yeah. Even though that's not our team, we got to holler about that. That was ridiculous, man. All right, well, let's swing it. Let's do our thing.
Yeah, without further ado, man, let's get into a roll call right in the order that everybody called in, man. Lady Blue, say hello to the people. How you doing?
Oh, love of my life.
Hello, G family.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, G family? How you doing?
Glad to be here. It's crazy here in Jacksonville today, but everything. I'm looking forward to this week. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah,
I look forward to looking at this.
I hate. All right. Oh, that's a move then. All right, Lady Blue, stand by.
Hey, Carl, what's going
what's
on,
up,
dude?
My man? What's up, Carl?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, gentlemen. We're not really going to talk about high school football, are we?
Say it one more time. Say that one more time, Carl, because I heard three
of
you.
We're not really going to talk high school jet football, are we?
Oh, no, I wanted to bring something up that I saw. I wait till everybody calls in. No, we are not. You know what's it's sad? But I'll bring it up later. Let's see who else is on the line real quick, Carl. Stand by. This must be Sean. What's up, homie?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, y'all?
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. This is sad. Y'all sound so happy for 0-2 fans. This is really, really... You know, really surprising. I like having this upbeat kind of, what do you call it? Coy feeling? What do you call it, Steve? Kind of.
Like what I'll say, Saquon Barkley. Kind of shocked. They're kind of upbeat.
Oh,
man.
I know, man. I want to remind everybody. Yeah. But, Sean, man, we're hanging out. Who else is up? Checking in is
DB Nation.
Be the DB Nation.
What's going on, people? Let's do it. Let's get better.
Let's get better, man. What's up, man? What's up, Chief? Y'all know the deal, man. You know, this is Bleed Blue Show, 929-477-4171. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, the Bleed Blue Show, at the Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show. Listen live to the archive shows, too, man, for the Rangers, the Ranger crowd, Knickerbocker Ave on Wednesdays with the New York Knickerbockers, and, of course, our Yankee podcast. That's on Monday night.
Yeah, that was a good episode. That was a good episode with the hoops, with the playoff hoops.
It was.
Definitely got to get your opinion on that episode, man, with the playoffs. That's a story
episode
for another day. We'll talk about that another day, but today's about the football. We got some great Week 3 pick'em games, Survivor picks as well. But first, Chris, let's get into it, because I'm looking at the Niners, man. I'm going to give it the Niner perspective. You guys, I'm definitely going to have questions for all you guys and Chris as well. I mean, this is a banged-up 49ers team. I mean, I don't see – the Giants should have a great chance of pulling out the victory. First of all, I don't even know – I don't know which quarterback is going to play for the Niners. I don't know if it's Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if it's going to be Nick Mullins. Kittle's banged up, a little limited practice. Mm-hmm. Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa's brother, is out for the year. I mean, you think we have issues injury-wise? They got, I mean, across the board, Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, mm-hmm. and the fact that they, Debo Samuel, the fact that they, you know, this is, you know, I'll speak on it when it gets to my turn. The way they finished off the Jets with, like, depleted parts. I mean, you know, like Carl said, it's a JV football team. They may have some – I would say they have an advantage. They didn't have to travel back and forth to San Fran. They stayed in Jersey, man. So they actually – you know, the Giants had to come back from Chicago. Jets stayed in Jersey. They ain't going nowhere. So, and the Giants are going to carry that fourth quarter momentum into week three. I got questions, but Chrissy, if you have anything else, you can go to Lady Blue. I'll bring those questions up as we go.
Let's go to Lady Blue first. Let's get right into the stakeholders. 929-477-4171, everybody, if you're listening in. Starting off with the wonderful, fantastic. Stick to the 3 minutes, everyone. Listen to the timer. Pay close attention.
Yeah, we have the timer, and we're going to stick to it strong, so because we've got to make sure everybody has their opinions to talk. So if you go over it a little bit of the time, you might get shot off the line. Now, LB, how are you looking at week three this week? We're gonna throw a softball question at everybody. Go right down the line. Make sure everybody has time to talk. Go ahead, Lady Blue. How are you looking at week three versus the Niners?
I say we have a hell of a shot, and if we don't, then there's something seriously wrong with us because we're basically going to go against their second stringers. I mean, I read that Nick Mullins is going to start. But I love the fact that these assholes blamed our field. I gotta love it.
Yes!
You know, I was laughing so hard when I read that they're blaming the damn field for their injuries.
Yep.
But hey, week two was a hell of a week for injuries. I mean, there was a lot of injuries, but I have a feeling that we're gonna come out strong. I'm looking forward to seeing what Freeman can do. We signed him to a 1-year deal. Martinez is picking it up. Bradbury is picking it up. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to a good game. I mean, our defense is ranked fourth in the league. We sacked Trubisky four times. Where defense is ranked second in the pass rush. As long as DJ can hold on to the goddamn football this time, we will have a chance to score an offense. I mean, the offensive line needs to hold strong. They need to break make some holes. I think Freeman has a shot. I don't know who else is going to be running the ball. Probably what's his face, Lewis. But we'll see. I mean, we have a hell of a shot with the San Francisco team so banged up as they are. Like I said, if we don't, there's something seriously wrong with us. But I just want to get through week three with a W, and I want to get through week three with no injuries, no more injuries, and a win. And I'm psyched. I am actually looking forward to this game. A friend of mine that lives in New York is a diehard San Fran fan, and we've been going back and forth. I said, are you going to have tryouts to see who can play on the team next since you have so many injuries? He wasn't too happy about that comment. But I feel good about this week. I really do. I'm looking forward to seeing what everyone else has to say. I know a lot of you guys are more analytical than I am, and I love listening to you with your comments and your thoughts and your stats. So let's just keep going, guys. Love you all. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue, Lady Blue. Bleed blue, Lady Blue. Indeed, indeed. Again, everyone, 929-477-4171, Steve and Chris. Big blue roundtable preview against the Niners in a game that we're going to win. And to prove that, we're going to give the mic to Carl, Steve, for his 3 minutes.
Carl, I have a question. Carl, I also have a question. Lady Blue alluded to Devontae Freeman. I don't suspect him getting a lot of snaps. Do you? And also, what about the run game, life without Barkley? How do you see it? And then whatever you need to say on week three versus the Niners on your time. And then we'll go right down the line.
Well, I'll answer that question right now. In terms of Freeman, I actually would incorporate a running back by committee sort of situation. You got your three running backs. If they each get seven carries apiece, that's 21. Obviously, if you're going to try to, you know, grind down the clock, you may adjust in a different manner. But I feel as if you get steady production from three players, it's much better than just relying on one particular player to do all of the work. As we have seen, we talked about that before the year started, having that idea and what would happen if that player got hurt. Well, here we are now, and now the adjustment has to take place. So split the work, hope you're effective, and then, you know, just go from there. To kind of piggyback on Lady Blue's thing, I've looked at this past week. Of the 22 starters that the 49ers would normally put on the field since last year, 11 of the starters are not playing, basically, unless you count George Kittle, who probably is not going to play this week. Quarterback, running, the two running backs, the two receivers, tight end, left tackle, center, three defensive linemen, one linebacker, one cornerback. Now, if you're telling me, and I find this pretty interesting so far, the point spread has the 49ers still, with all of those guys out, solid favorites to win the game Sunday. Yep. What does that tell you? I found that to be very, very surprising that is in play this Sunday. The 49ers are a 4-point favorite, which on the road for a football team is very, very heavy. And so it makes me wonder, it says, okay, well, wait a second, what does that tell me about the talent on the Giant roster? Because as we have gone through these guys the last 3 years, every time we've seen each other, every time we've gone to games, we've come around and said, hey, this team doesn't have the talent. Last year, this team doesn't have the talent. 2020, this team doesn't have the talent. Well, now, wait a second. That should not be the case after a certain period of time. Like, we should be at this point right now, and we'll talk about this probably when we go around the next time, that we should be at the point where this game, this Sunday's game, should not be a situation where we are praying and hoping that they win Sunday. That if that is not the case, if they lose this game on Sunday to that particular team, then something that because the whole Joe Judge rah-rah, you know, giant propaganda stuff that's been going around can only last so long. Wins have to come eventually, you know, and if they start off 0-3 here, losing this particular game, you find me in the next four games, you find me the win on that schedule, because I can't find it. Maybe say the Redskins, and I'll close it off with this and say, hey, listen, win the game Sunday. No excuses.
Bleed blue. Wow.
Bleed blue.
Wow. And that's why he's such a sage. 929-477-4171. Thank you, Carl. Hey, Sean, you heard what Carl said and to Steve's question. Answer it if you can the same way, man. I mean, you know, what are you looking at? What do you see overall?
Well, I see a team that, I mean, we should win on paper because the 49ers are all injured. But, you know, it's football. Who knows who's going to show up? Who knows who's going to play good? Let's get to this running back thing. Yeah. Last week, and I've been saying this not just last week, but I've been saying it for a couple of years now, this one-back offense, don't like it. And respectfully, someone last week said, well, they got this one back offense because of Saquon. And just thinking about all the good, great running backs that have been through the NFL, and even my running backs who I just love, like Joe Morris, yeah, I go that far back. Remember Robert Carpenter? Yeah, I go that far back.
Yep.
They all had a fullback ahead of them.
I knew it was coming.
So
yep,
you don't change the game plan for a brand new running back that is awesome. You make that running back conform to your plan. And I don't even know why we started it. Well, I kind of like, do you know why we started this one back offense? Because we followed and copied everybody else. And it seems good. And I hate to name these names, but they're great running backs. Emmitt Smith, yeah, he had a great line. He also had a fullback running ahead of him. And then let's talk about the running back that everybody compares Saquon to. Sanders. Mm. Barry Sanders. Do anybody remember this? One game, Sanders, -3, -5, -6.
Yep.
Next three carries,
even
he runs 50, 60, 70, and it makes it seem good. But you know why he stopped playing? Because he got tired of being banged up because he didn't have a fullback running ahead of him. And please don't let me bring up Odell Beckham. You know why Saquon was having a good year that first year? Because there was a threat at wide receiver, and they had to get doubled. Without anybody to double, you got a blitzer always coming free, and definitely if our front line don't block, it makes it look like everybody is just right at Saquon, and he gets tackled behind the line. Why don't we have a full? Hey, Chicago had a fullback. They was running all over us that last quarter. They had a lead blocker. Why is that so hard? Yeah. Everybody got on Tiki Barber for what he said. Y'all noticed Saquon's really not a good blocker. And when you analyze his running style, he don't hit the holes correctly. He do a lot of bouncing. Y'all noticed that, right? And if you look at his body, his legs, yeah, he got some great calves. He don't have those Earl Campbell thighs.
Okay. Hold that thought. Hold that Bleed Blue, Sean. 929-474-1171. This is the Bleed Blue Show. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're all on that too. Listen live on BleedBlueShow.com if possible. That was Sean, everybody. The fantastic DB Nation is up for his 3 minutes, and go and hit it right about now.
Wait. Before you go, DB, I got a question for you, man, because we got to get to some of these X's and O's matchups for Sunday. If you could add this to your spiel on week three versus the Niners, if you're Patrick Graham, man, defensively, you know they're banged up. They never really was an over-the-top team anyway. So, I mean, they were when they had Marquise Goodwin. He's no longer there. They're, you know, their top-flight guy to get you down the field. The Niners, how are you going – if you're Patrick Graham, how do you defend the Niners? You heard what they said. No Jimmy Garoppolo possibly or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's probably Nick Mullins. How you want to defend him if you're Patrick Graham, man? If you could incorporate that and look at everybody else.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so can you hear me?
We got you.
So if I'm Patrick Graham and I'm the D coordinator, for one, I would learn how to interview better. I don't know if you ever watched his interviews. That man's hilarious. But, I would zone blitz Nick Mullins and make him earn it. Keep him guessing, just because any quarterback, because Nick Mullins has been in the league for a little bit, and he's not a bum, but he's not a starter. So I would just keep him guessing, because the worst nightmare for a quarterback is kind of showing that a base alignment where the front always looks the same, and since we're base 3-4, just show that 3-4 look, but you can't really tell if we're blitzing or if we're in man coverage. So just keep him guessing, just disguise those coverages, because that's hard for a quarterback, even a good quarterback. It's like, wait, it's a 50-50 chance. Is this guy coming on the left? Is the guy coming from the middle? Is the corner coming? Is the safety coming? So I would do a lot of disguise zone blitzing on Nick Mullins and attack that line of scrimmage, because I'm not sure if Tevin Coleman is hurt or if he's playing. They still have Raheem Mostert. So they're going to try to grind and pound us. They're going to try to use those running backs against us. So that's what I would do. That would be my game plan from Patrick Graham. Now, just like everyone else said, with all the injuries in San Francisco, I feel very confident, as I do every game, but I feel very confident about this game. There's no reason why on earth the New York Giants should not beat the San Francisco Jets this coming week, because that's exactly who they've been minimized to at this point with all the injuries. Because the Jets are still an NFL team. They're still in the league, but guess what? They're not a good team. So what we need to do is not be like the Giants of recent years past and play to the level of our lowly opponents. It's like we'll play bad teams and play to their level. Let's not do that. Let's not have any Alec Ogletree moments out there with whiff tackles and any of that stuff. We got to put the pedal to the metal, step on their throats, and keep it on there until we suffocate them. That's it, point blank. This has to be a win. This has to be a win. I mean, it's either win or win. That's how I'm looking at it. So that's the approach we need to have. Once again, the big matchup in my point of view is Daniel Jones versus himself in his own mind, because either you have it or you don't. You know, you can't be a project quarterback picked in the sixth overall. That just doesn't happen. You know, Baker Mayfield, he went in right away. It's like, yeah, you're a rookie, you're new, you're going to learn our system, get your ass out there and make it happen. Daniel Jones. You've had a full season to play. Your quarterback awareness, yeah, you have physical tools. You can throw the ball. But his awareness, he has to get that up or else any team will cash in on us. So that's my big matchup right there is Daniel Jones once again. And I might unfortunately say this next week, Daniel Jones versus I feel like our secondary will step up, even if they had their starters in there. I still feel like our secondary will do good, about, you know, against them, Deebo Samuel, those guys. But since they're hurt, I think they still got Kendrick Bourne. So, yeah, let's make it happen. Oh, and Devontae Freeman, I feel like this guy is always going to be.
DB, hurry up, man, because your turn is off. Your turn is off. So, yo, hold on thought, man, for you.
Okay.
929-477-4171. If you got DB on one side, you're always going to have Manny Dubs on the other side, Steve. See how that works.
Manny, you
already
know,
man. First of all, rest in peace to the Road Warrior animal, man. We lost a real
that
one.
That is true.
You know, the Legion of Doom is up to heaven, a body slamming old wrestlers, man. But,
Three minutes, Manny.
All right, man, I'm going to tell you like this. I got a lot of thoughts on this, man. First of all, when I was listening, running backs like this, we do compare Saquon to Barry Sanders and all that other good stuff. But, the one-back offense came from because it's a quarterback league now. So they want to spread the ball. They want to spread the field. Fullbacks are absolutely important when you come down to the running game. But I asked people who had a problem with the single back, and if anybody – you know, we'll talk about, I know the last quarter we had talked about with Barry saying, hey, you know, it was negative, then negative, negative, and then home run. I don't know nobody that would trade Barry, though. And when Barry had 2,000 yards, he had a fullback, you guys remember. They brought in that big boy from Nebraska. Now, against San Francisco, man, we have to, I agree, I'm going to piggyback off DB Nation. We got a zone blitz for sure, but I think they're going to want to establish the run. I'm looking at their depth chart, and it is abysmal. I don't expect Mostert to be in. I don't expect Tevin Coleman to play either. They both listed as doubtful, and even if they are playing, it's not going to look good.
Right.
So, right now we play man coverage. This is what I would do. I would play press coverage on the outside because we got veteran DBs, and I would blitz the shit out of Nick Mullins. I would blitz the and on my line, I would set up an over or stack 3-4 where you stack to the tight end side or wherever the strong side is, and I'd slant my D-line into the gaps to the strong side and then have my linebackers play base. What that does is you blitz from the strong side and you got your middle linebackers playing base and playing their gap control. You're going to take away that run game. When you take away the run game, you make them one-dimensional, and I will definitely take my DBs against this infirmary unit of a wide receiver class that they got coming in. Signing of Devontae is the signing of Devontae Freeman. I love it, man. I love the sign of Devontae Freeman. I think right now what we're going to do is get a heavy case of running back by committee, and we'll get Devontae, and I think we'll see my man Goldman finally. So I'm excited for that. As far as Deion Lewis, he could go ahead and catch punts and kicks. Well, not even punts because we got Jabril, but go catch kicks and be done. I don't ever want to see him in the lead running back role ever again. I think at this point, if he does, somebody should run on the field and slap his helmet clean off because he is not every down back. He is I'm a catch out of the backfield. Let me get a screen or two. So Deion Lewis should never be asked to be a bell cow. That's my thoughts. Bleed blue, Giants with a W this weekend.
I have follow-up questions for you. My turn. Hold on, I got follow-up questions when it's my turn for you, Manny Dog, and DB Nation. So stay right there. Who we got next, Billy Bob?
We got Billy Bob on the line right now in the Steelers. Go ahead, bro.
Yo, what's up? How we doing? Let me just try to make this real quick. I personally want to say, like I said last week, I'm not surprised that our special team are doing good because we got a special team coach. But now I did hear our special team coach, which he's our head coach, said – he needs players to play multiple positions. And where I'm heading at is, okay, I respect that you're that special team coach and you did something special with our special team by putting Jabril Peppers back there. That's what y'all call running with authority. If y'all see when this man catch the ball, that's what y'all call running with authority. We don't get that for Saquon. So what I'm saying, Judge, I need you to be a special team coach and find some way to implement this person in your offense. And then you'll see some bright. I won't be surprised if they do that now. Find some other ways to hype your offense up. And then the matchup, I'm still on this tight end stuff. This dude is built, his frame is built good. He's like a good tight end, but he's not what we're looking for, guys. John's got to figure out a way how to use this man. I'm to a point I'm trying to figure out how we got to use these personal players. Find some way to get Ingram out there by himself, out there on the numbers by himself, on the side by himself. He need to be operating on the side by himself, not with other wide receivers. He needs space to operate because he's just not physical to be in a condensed place to be working around. Find some way to utilize this, man. I hope we find some way to utilize him. And this is like eyesight. I did say this long time ago about the Giants getting a second running back. I said that long time ago after Saquon rookie year. I said, we're going to run this man to the ground, go get the dude Love from out of Stanford. We didn't do that. I said, go get Josh Jacobs from Alabama. I been say that because it was just like it was too much to say the Giants finna rely on this running game. We finna fall. They should have been when they got a second running back out of the draft. That was just like a full. I been seen that coming. As far as this the matchup,
yeah,
we're talking about an offensive coordinator. I'm being real with y'all. It's really gonna be like a matchup with the coaches. And the 49ers head coach, he's going to win this year because he's an offense guru. And I feel that he's going to pick up what he seen last week, what happened to the Giants. They're going to run the ball down our throat. And that's one thing you can't stop because I've seen the man is very good at just putting a very good game plan together, no matter who he has on the field. We're talking about this dude already played with McMullen, almost did a good job with McMullen. So the man is going to come with a good game plan. It's just how resilient are the Giants are willing to be and willing to go out and go win. That's all I see from Giants right now. But as far as that, I hope that our special team head coach find a way to use Jabril Peppers in his game plan. That's what you call running with authority. You see when somebody wants to play. That's all I have for now.
Lee Blue, and right on time. Check it out.
Perfect.
All right. That's perfect. Before I kick it to Steve, you know, I remind everybody we got the week 3 picks coming up and the survivor picks for y'all who have survived. I want everybody to remember Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's where you catch us at. You know, let me tell you something funny, though. I thought it was funny. I know you guys probably already realized this, but okay. If there's ever a game we should win, it is this one. I mean, the 49ers do not want to be here. And like Lady Blue said, they were very verbal about his concerns about the turf and MetLife. And they stayed out here to avoid that, you know, basically the multiple cross-country treks. But check this out. The truck that towed the team's MRI machine, which they need, that broke down on the way to their resort. And the plane that they were flying on suffered a fender bender on the tarmac. They are snake bitten in every which way possible. If there's ever a team we should be ever, in any given week, it is definitely this one. 929-477-4171.
Wait. Wait a minute. You ain't off the hook that quick. You don't think the Niners are looking at the Giants the same way? Wait a minute. You don't think the Giants are looking at the Niners are looking at the Giants the same way? Hey, this is the Giants. You should beat them, you know?
No.
You don't think the Niners are coming off? Wait, whoa. The Niners are coming off a Super Bowl berth. They lost a close game to Arizona. They could have won that one. They dominated the Jets with half their roster injured. You don't think, and they pretty much looked at the Giants, screwed it up versus the Bears. You don't think they're going to, you know, beat the Giants? You don't think the Niners are looking at it like that?
I think with their second and tier level players that they got, third tier level players that they got right now, this is what I'm going to say. I think what the personnel that Shanahan's looking at his disposal right now, and all the snake bitten stuff surrounding this squad right now, and the fact that he has a depleted squad with no Garoppolo or whatever, I think right now he is trying to give the best pep talk he could possibly give to that depleted ass team. Okay, because one thing you do, now I'm not a football coach. I learned this off somebody that I'm not going to name right now that's on this call, believe it or not, as we speak. But I'm pretty sure that if you don't have your top-tier dudes there, if you don't have your Nick Bosa's, your Solomon Thomas's, and who's the third cat? Oh, your Richard Thomas. I mean, Richard Sherman's gone. You know, if you don't have your boss cats there to holler for you, I really don't think the message could get through because they are professionals, but I don't think the confidence level is where it would be. So, but I do think that on the other hand, to your question, Steve, I do believe that Joe Judge and Jason Garrett are telling their players, listen, this is our chance. This is our moment. We've got to win this one, okay? Even if the showers start pouring because it's supposed to be raining on Sunday in the high 70s with the wind at 15 miles an hour. And you know San Francisco ain't used to that. So I'm pretty sure our coaches are the ones that are totally in a mix with this right now. So I'm feeling really, really confident about being blue. Now, you're on, sir.
All right, put me on for the clock. But within my time speaking, I do have questions for stakeholders. And when I ask you a question, just try to give us a quick answer because I'm still on my time to speak. I'm going back to last week. You guys mentioned George Kittle not playing or, you know, banged up. You know, Jordan Reed, for whatever it is, he's a guy we're familiar with. When he's healthy, he had a couple of touchdowns. He had a big touchdown right before the end of half against the Jets, and I think that put them away. We all know the Jets really are a depleted roster as well. To answer the question as far as Patrick Graham defensively, I agree with Manny Dawgs, and I'm going to follow Manny Dawgs first with this question because as far as man coverage on the outside, Manny Dawgs, quick question, man. Your defensive scheme as far as going up against the Niners, man, who do you want going against Jordan Reed? Do you want that zone coverage? You want that man-to-man? What you want as far as that, Manny Dawgs? Real quick.
Honestly, I would take against Jordan Reed, I would take my chances with Jabril on him. I have no problems with him being manned up. So even if we came with zone blitzes, I would man Jordan Reed. Or if we come in, or we can go straight man across the board with the DBs. But the matchup I'd want would be either Jabril on Jordan Reed, and if last resort, Lo Carter.
All right, cool. Now, also, Eric Armstead, he had got the big payday in the offseason. He's a defensive lineman for the Niners. And DB Nation, my question to you, and it goes back to the Patrick Graham points you made as far as going zone blitz. That's more so when we're on defense. How do we contain Eric Armstead, especially with our offensive line situation? Fred Warner, you're familiar with him. How do you offensively game plan against those two guys in particular, Fred Warner and Eric Armstead? What's your thoughts, DB Nation, on that?
Yeah, Fred Warner, well, they're both animals. Fred Warner is a beast at linebacker.
Right.
We definitely got to key these guys. Like, these are, like, when you do your coaching game plan, we can't leave them out. Those have to be, like, our hot keys on defense because those are, like, their best two that they have standing. So O-line, whoever's coaching the O-line, was it Colombo? He got to get in the minds of the offensive line to let them know, hey, these guys are for real, and they're coming. So, you know, injuries are not. Those guys are warriors. They're going to come. So we have to game plan around those guys and then let the chips fall where they may. But if we just treat them like they're just regular players, then it's going to be some problems. So he got to get in the minds of everyone on offense, actually, Daniel Jones, everyone. We have to get in the minds of everyone on offense to come together and say, hey, 54 and 98, we got to stop these guys.
Last question for me before we go back around. Carl, man, we said it in the postgame show, the run defense was gashed. Do you see that situation happening if we're in a close game? You know, they don't have no Weston Richburg. We're all familiar with him. Mike McGlinchey is a pretty good solid tackle. Trent Williams is a little long in the tooth. Do you see the same situation with the run game, especially without Mostar and Tevin Coleman? How do you look at the run game for the 49ers in the fourth game late in the game versus the Giants D-line?
Kyle Shanahan is probably the most creative coach in the league when it comes to running the football. Jim Harbaugh was that a couple of years before that. But in terms of schematically designing his offensive scheme to the running game, think about this for a second. Raheem Mostert was the team's fifth-string running back last year and became their best running back when the year ended. Like, he has a system where he's able to – that he's set up now – where he is able to plug guys in and they are able to be very successful. But one thing that I could see them doing on Sunday is deciding that rather than simply playing a north-south game with the Giants defensive line because of Lawrence, Tomlinson, and those guys, simply play the Giants east and west. Make the Giants go sideline to sideline to stop them, because I don't think the Giants have the speed to do that. And I think once that – if you've noticed, the two touchdowns the 49ers have scored offensively – have been on toss sweep plays. The Giants personnel wise, have you guys seen them having the speed to really make an impact on any runs outside? I haven't seen it. And so from that standpoint, I think that's something that should be looked at on Sunday.
All right, cool. All right, Chris, that's my time. Thank you, Manny Dogs, DB Nation, Carl. Chris, will we go back around? I guess Lady Blue, maybe a couple of more minutes, and then maybe take a minute off the time so we can get to the picks. So maybe 2 minutes on the timer, Chris,
okay.
And then so we can get to the picks, man. So saving time for this episode.
I start these shows with two questions each. But see, we've got such intelligent people on this podcast that they already answer the question within their answer. So so if you got a question for them, Steve, you need to ask it, because I do not have it anymore. But Lady Blue, you got 2 minutes. Let's do it.
I got a question for everybody. When we were our best, everyone's talking running backs. We were our best when we had our three backs, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Why wouldn't we go back to a three-back set like we did then? Because our running game back then was unstoppable. And I don't want to hear the offensive line, because our three running backs back then made their own holes. They ran over people.
But we had a good offensive line.
That's not necessarily – that's somewhat true. I don't necessarily – let me say this real quick, and then we'll get everybody answers on that. We'll go right down the line. It definitely does have – you need an offensive line in the league. You could have Barry Sanders. You could have Saquon Barkley. But if you can't get those blocks out there to clear the lanes for these guys, man, you need a line. I mean, there's no way around that. And three backs at that time, you're talking about Derek Ward, Brandon Jacobs.
And Bradshaw.
You know, those guys.
Bradshaw, Ward, and Jacobs.
Mob Bradshaw. So, yeah, you need a line. There's no way around that, man. You were running with David Deal. You were running with Cyber, you were running with Kareem McClendon. Yeah, so you need a line. This, don't get that mistaken. This line is not that line. I don't absolutely at all. And they're young in the tube. I mean, you have one rookie starting at left tackle, another guy coming off the bench. We'll throw that question to everybody. Carl, you want
to
give us your 2 minutes?
Throw it to
everybody. Lady Blue's question as far as three backs. And then anything else you'd like to add for your 2 minutes?
Yeah, you know, the Giants, Lady Blue, back in that particular time, as they mentioned, they had a high-quality offensive line where they were able to transition from Tiki Barber running behind that line to then Jacobs to then Derek. I remember that – if you remember that 2007 year, there was a game, I believe, there were two games in the season where Jacobs got hurt. Derek Ward took up the primary carries. And I remember I was at one of the games. It was against Chicago. And Ward ran for, I think it was 150 yards. And then Bradshaw the last couple of weeks of the season. So that's how that was, in theory, is supposed to work. You have the line, and then you're able to plug and play as you go along. That's why the theory has always been, in terms of the running back position on its own, the success of the running back is more dependent on the line than the running back themselves. Unfortunately, we had a general manager who was quoted as saying, you could probably look it up, after the draft 2 years ago, who said that the running back could actually make the offensive line better. Clearly, that was not the case, as we have seen here the last, you know, couple of years. That, you know, Walter Payton back 30, 40 years ago was able to run behind a bad offensive line and be a Hall of Famer. These days, that doesn't work because the quality of linemen that are coming into the league are not as good, and thus there is an issue in terms of just the overall quality of offensive line play. If you look throughout the league, the quality of play of linemen coming into the league is not that good. So that's the reason for that. I wanted to close with one thing. You know, we talk about rebuilding, and we mentioned this last year, but the 49ers rebuilding and the Giants rebuilding have two different sort of carryovers. We talk about carryover players from the year before and building rosters. The 49ers, when they started, when they were 2-14, carried over 23 guys from the previous year. After that, it became 42 guys. After that, it became 44 guys, basically to the point where when they got to last season, they were just basically deciding who were the last four or five guys on the roster. The Giants have not had the same level of carryover with their rebuilding, quote unquote, if you want to call it that. And that is the issue, to the point that we talk about this game Sunday, where the 49ers can basically tell you that we're going to miss half of our starters and still be better than the other team. And that on its own should tell you where in the process we are in terms of getting and acquiring talent on this roster.
That's Carl.
Hey, Carl, you have a question for Sean.
Yeah.
And then whatever Sean needs to say in this 2 minutes.
Let me ask this. Because this is playing out a lot and with another team that's rebuilding as well. A lot of excuse is not the right word, but a lot of discussion has been made that Daniel Jones in his second year should just be graded as just a player that's developing in his second year. But we have seen in the last 3 years, including one player this year that I'll mention in Kyler Murray, where we have seen exquisite jumps in play between guys that are in their second year. Why is it that Jones isn't being held to the same standard?
I got to hear this.
That is a great question. I don't know why. And you know what? We can name a quarterback that's playing right now who I believe this year, that guy Burrow from Cincinnati, he's
yes.
the truth. He's
and watch
the
out for Justin
truth.
Herbert, too. Yes.
Yeah. Now, why isn't Daniel Jones? And Daniel Jones throws a perfect pass. He looks great in the pocket, and I even thought about that. And you know what it comes down to? Not only the talent, but the talent that he played against. And I hate to even bring this up in college. That's that level of Duke compared to Alabama. Duke compared to Georgia. Duke compared to LSU. Sad to say that that's what it comes up to. So basically, there's only one quarterback that I've known who was very successful and has won a Super Bowl, but right now his career is garbage, is Flacco. You saw what happened with him. And, I mean, he came out of Delaware State. Same mechanics just about. And I feel like Daniel Jones can be a real good quarterback. But you know what? And I even thought about this, too. If we really have a bad season and we're in the running for that guy out of Georgia, the quarterback, it throws my name right now.
Trevor
I think,
Lawrence.
Yeah, out
Trevor
of Georgia,
Lawrence.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. My thing has always been we get the best player possible out the draft. He's the best player. Get him.
Wow.
Nothing against Dan Jones, but it's one of those things. But, yeah, as far as, you know, great question. Yeah, Burrow's, why hasn't he had that leap? And, you know, with the New York media and us, yeah, he should be a little bit better. But I've also used an excuse for Eli the past couple of years when he was playing, look at the line, look what it's giving him. And finally, we just have to say, you know, it's just the team. It's the organization. It's like you got to give them help.
Hey, you know what? I'd like for the rest of the crew to answer that question for 2 minutes, Steve, if they can. Because that's a very great question, Carl. Good answer, too, Sean. DB.
Charles or Sean. DB, if you give us your 2 minutes on anything with Daniel Jones or Carl's question, and also any other thoughts on the matchup versus the Niners.
Yeah, to answer Carl's question, I pretty much agree. That's my same question to the front office, because the league is the league. We're talking about the Giants. So why do you have this guy as a project, you know, you know, quarterback. This doesn't make sense. You've had, and I understand he went to Duke, but guess what, buddy? You're in the NFL now. You had a full NFL season as a starting quarterback in this league to get caught up to speed on the speed of defenses, how smart defenses are, how physical they are. So Daniel Jones doesn't get an excuse. He doesn't get a pass. No one else should get a pass because, like, you look at Joe Burrow, look at all these other guys. To me, it's black and white. There's no gray area with this, and it doesn't matter what position you play. Daniel Jones, you're a quarterback in the NFL and you're a starter. Either you have pocket awareness and you make good decisions or you don't. It's very simple. We all know he's a turnover machine. That's why his nickname is Daniel Turnover Jones. But it just doesn't make any sense to me because either you have it or you don't. How much longer are we going to have to sit here? Like, is this the best we got? Is this all we're going to get for the season from number eight? We got to sit here hoping. Every time he throws the ball, we're holding our breath that he makes a good decision. That's pathetic. I hate being a fan like that, but we're like held to this. We're like handcuffed to the chair or something watching this kid play football, and it's nauseating. So they got to get it together. But once again, this is Dave Gettleman. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave Gettlebum. This goes back to the front office with Dave Gettlebum making bad decisions. Again, you draft a guy, especially a quarterback, at number six. Why is he a project quarterback? Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, any of these guys that went high, even Ryan Leaf back in the day, and he turned out to be a bum, but quarterbacks and players, especially quarterbacks, who get drafted high in that top five, top ten, the owners and managers, they're not saying, hey, yeah, we're going to work on this kid. Hopefully he'll be okay. Hopefully he'll be the one. No, he's the one. Throw his ass in the offense, let him learn the playbook, and get out there and get some experience and get some wins for us. Bleed blue.
Okay, bleed blue. DB, Manny Dog, same question.
Listen,
give us something
man,
about the game, goddammit.
First of all, I'm gonna tell you one thing. I'm gonna lead with this. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the New York Giants, so he's my quarterback. I'll answer the question now. The reason why Daniel Jones, I believe, is getting this pass is because Dave Gettlebum and us, the Giant faithful, we're whining and crying. We need a quarterback. We need a quarterback. Eli is old. And, oh, they got two more years. So, yeah, so what did they do? They put a fire under Dave Gettlebum. He jumped and blew his load on this trash-ass quarterback that he could have got probably in the second round and drafted him. And then everybody, well, why did we do that? Well, because you were sitting there and cried for two or three damn years, oh, Eli this and Eli that. And now you get what you asked for. So don't bitch and moan now. You got what you asked for. So now that we over here having the same conversation and this kid not having the wherewithal to understand what pressure is in the pocket, this is what we deal with. So just as I used to defend Eli Manning, I'm going to defend Daniel Jones. And everybody that asked for Daniel and asked for a quarterback, eat this shit. Let's all go down in this shit because y'all wanted it, and this is what we got. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Wow. All righty then. All right. Last, let's go. Billy Bob, 2 minutes, sir. Same question.
First, let me ask that other one about Lady Blue. First of all, them running backs back in the days, it was like they were all different types of running backs. I mean, they had all different styles. So one was a power running back, one was a physical and slash speed back, which is Marv Bradshaw. He was a power back and a speed back. And you had your every down back in war. So that probably played favorite. So it was good to have three running backs at that time. Like the 49ers had three running backs at that time. I mean, last year. So it always builds good if you can get three solid. I'm going to say average running backs that can be committed. It works. They always going to work. Regardless of what team, what year, it can always work. It all depends on what kind of line you have and what kind of team you had to go with it. Because you got to also remember, other than our line, we did have three good wide receivers at that time that was running with them, Amani Toomer, Plaxico, and you had Steve Smith. And then you also had slash Jeremy Shockey slash Ball. So it just gelled at that time. It was just the chemistry at that time that really worked it good. As far as the quarterback situation, it was not no really high expectation for Daniel Jones to come in right away and make something happen. I wasn't really looking for that. It was just more of, can we put a complete team around this man, a legit team around this man. And obviously they working to do that, but it's going to be kind of hard and long. And plus, you got to also understand, I'm not too much feeling an offensive coordinator with the plays that they call. It's like I've been looking at – I'm to the point where they need to stop and bring back Kevin Gilbright with all these comeback routes and these timing routes. I don't even know if these timing routes no more, because these comeback routes and these five – these are some lame plays, some dull plays, some vanilla plays. And it's kind of hard to get – like, to me, Daniel Jones has an arm. This person is willing to go. And you can also – you can see it. When you're throwing the ball down the field to Darius Slayton, you can see that. We have wide receivers that are not capable of not – I just want to see for once we get Eagle out there on a wide side and tell him run a ball. Let him get a mismatch one-on-one on one side of the field and operate in that sense of form. I'm not getting that shit. I'm just not.
Okay. All right. Check it out. That's spirited. I love this. But, Steve, where you at, brother? We got to do our pick-ems. We got our survivor picks as well.
Yeah, let's get to the picks. I'll give you the games right now. We're running out of time. We got four great games. Great games for the pick-ems. We got Rams at Bills. We got Chiefs at Ravens. We have Packers at Saints. And we have Niners at Giants. Give us with your confidence points, meaning – if you're most confident in the win between the four games, put a four on it. If you're the least confident of the four games of a win, put a one on it. By the time we get to the end of week four, we'll have the totals. We'll be 25% of the season. We'll run up the totals of where we stand with the confidence points and the survivors pick as well. We're going to go right down the line. Chris, let's do it. Let's go to Lady Blue and get started off so we can get off this thing and keep it pushing, man. Lady Blue.
All right, here we go. Lady Blue.
Yeah, you got some four tough games. Dang.
It's tough. They are tough. I ain't going to front.
All right, okay. I'm going to do – oh, my goodness.
Rams.
Rams, I'll do that. 3. Chiefs at Ravens,
okay.
I'll do Chiefs at 2. Packers and Saints, Packers at 4, and Giants at 1, and my survivor pick is Steelers.
All right, hold on. Steelers. All right, cool, I got it. Let's go to Carl on your survivor. I'm not your survivor, your pick-ems. I think Carl's next. Yeah, Carl's next.
All right, we're going to be a tough one here. Tough slate,
yeah,
man,
tough.
You got here. Damn. Shit. You know what? Give me the Ravens at 1. Give me the Packers at 2.
Okay.
For 3, give me Buffalo. And Dan,
okay.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's worked twice. Until they win one, then I'll adjust. I'm going to take the 49ers.
Man, you have to do what you got to do.
That'll be a 4. Yeah,
that'll be a 4.
All right, let's go to Sean.
Sean, you up?
Sean. Ain't I out of this thing? Didn't we talk about this last time?
What, say again?
Hello? No, you're done. You're eliminating us.
Yeah,
we need the picks.
Yeah, we need the picks.
Oh, okay.
Rams at Bills. Confidence points, too.
Rams 3.
Okay.
What was the other game? Okay. Well, that was out.
Chiefs and Ravens.
Chiefs at 4, Giants 1, and I guess the last game would be 2. The last game? I'm sorry.
Just Packers and Saints.
Who
do you want, though?
Ooh, Green Bay for number 2.
Okay.
Okay, right. Sounds good. Cool. Let's go to DB Nation.
All right. DB Nation.
All right. So...
All right, ready?
Rams, Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills at 1.
shit. Who's the other teams?
Chiefs and Ravens. New Orleans. Chiefs and Ravens.
New Orleans, Green Bay. I'm going to go New Orleans, too. Who else you got?
Chiefs and Ravens.
Chiefs, Ravens. I'm going Ravens. All right, the three, and then Giants, four.
All right.
All right, and you're Survivor. Survivor.
Hold on, my bad.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me too. Okay, good.
Steelers.
Copy.
The Steelers, okay.
All right. Manny Dog.
Man, let me get the Giants with a secure four over the Niners.
Wow, secure.
Three, Buffalo over the Rams. Two, Ravens over the Chiefs. And a one, Green Bay over New Orleans. My survivor pick,
survivor.
I've been hitting every week.
Yeah.
Yep. Indianapolis over the Jets.
Yeah, I go.
Indianapolis.
Jonathan Taylor about to go off.
Taking my shit.
All right.
God damn. All right.
Billy Bob, real quick.
Give us
no, there is a rapper named Billy Blue, though. Hey, but listen, I got Rams.
What's your new name now? I'm going to name you and call you that.
Hey,
okay,
we got the Rams. I got a two with that. My confidence is a two. If we want to go down to the Baltimore game, I got Kansas City. My confidence is a four on that. A four. And then we got the Green Bay. I got Green Bay. My confidence level is a three. And the last game with New York Giants, dang. I got San Francisco over the one. Oh, my goodness. My survivor pick. Whoa, Tennessee Titans over the Minnesota Vikings.
Got it. Hey, listen, I know this is the end, but I gotta slide my man Bakes in real quick with his pick. Bakes, you there?
Yes. Sorry about being late,
man.
I had a meeting, but
I guess okay, give me your picks, man. Give me your picks.
Shoot me the team
Rams
again,
and,
please.
Rams and Bills.
Rams and Bills. Let me get the Rams confident at a three.
Chiefs and Ravens. Chiefs and Ravens.
Four.
Pats and Saints.
Both two.
And Giants and 49ers.
I'm gonna pick the Giants this week. Over the ailing 49ers. And I'm out of the
Hey, quick question,
the elimination, yeah.
Yeah,
I picked the Jets week one.
Can you repeat that? Because you were going in and out on my end. Packers and Saints. Who you got for that game? The Packers Saints game? What did you say?
I got the Packs.
And then the Chiefs and Ravens. Who did you say? I didn't hear that.
I got the Chiefs.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Real quick. I got Ravens at one, Pax at two, Rams at three, Giants at four, and the Colts at Survivor. You up, Steve?
Writing that down. You said Ravens at two?
Yeah.
And who? You said our game is a one, and you put the Giants?
I got four. I got. I sure do.
Okay, I do see that. And who's your survivor? You said Steelers?
Colts.
Colts, okay. All right, cool. All right, I'm switching my pick right now. All right, man, I got the Bills at a two, Chiefs at four, Saints at three, Giants at a one. My survivor is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. All right, cool. Final thoughts. Lady Bill, we're out of time, man. Give us like 10 seconds your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. We need this win because I have a feeling it's going to determine the rest of the season and just get through the game without any injuries. Other than that, bleed blue.
Bleed blue, lady blue. Carl.
Eventually, the Giants trying hard and competing has to be replaced by winning football games. And this Sunday has to be one of those games.
Bleed blue.
Shout out to Carl. Bleed blue.
Sean.
Let's go to Sean. Final thoughts.
We suck. Nah, hopefully our defense will do what it's supposed to do. I am enjoying our defense. And if Danny Jones don't turn the ball over, we should win. Bleed, bleed blue.
All right.
DB Nation.
I want to thank Indiana Jones for digging Wayne Gallman out of the dungeon and putting him back in an NFL uniform. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Matty Dog. Just win, baby. Bleed blue. Bates.
Bleed blue, man. I think running back by committee improved offensive line in the running will win 17-13.
All right.
Listen, I need Joe Judge to be special and make my team a special team, like a special team coach he is. Be special.
Ow. Bleed blue. And I'm going to thank Lady Blue, Billy Bob, Carl, DB Nation, Matty Dog, Banks. You're killing me, man. I want to remember this one. I do Podcast Republic, Stitcher Ass, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and here's Steve.
Yeah, we're out, man. We'll be back after the game. I had to really think about my Giant Niner game, man. I was going to make it a Crow game. I said, nah, man. I'm going for the Giants, man. I think they can pull it off, man. So we'll be back on Sunday after the game to see if they pulled it off. And shout-outs to the Big Blue Huddle. Shout-outs to a couple of the Giant fans around the message boards this week engaging the game with the Niners and the Giants across social media. So I just wanted to give those guys a shout. We didn't really get a chance to get to everybody's comments online because we are, you know, slam pat with everybody here online. So, you know, round table first. If you're here, you're here. Anybody else secondary? Sandra Esso, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.
Chris, you there?